You're listening to the Paul Edwards Program on Faith Talk 1500.
A couple of weeks ago, I was given a copy of Senator Joe Lieberman's new book, The Gift of Rest, Rediscovering the Beauty of the Sabbath. My initial reaction to it was, a sitting U.S. senator has written a book on the Sabbath. That piqued my curiosity, and I couldn't put the thing down. I read it nearly from cover to cover in one sitting and was absolutely fascinated by what I learned about the Sabbath. Myself, being an evangelical pastor, thought I knew everything there was to know about the Sabbath. I learned something about the Sabbath in this book. And of course, Senator Joe Lieberman, the independent senator from the state of Connecticut, on the other end of our phone line. Senator, it's an honor to welcome you to the Paul Edwards Program.
Thank you very much, Paul. It's an honor to be with you. And thanks very much for your reaction to my book. I really appreciate it.
Well, I want to react further to it after I get your reaction to a tweet you sent out yesterday. The fall of Tripoli happening now marks a historic turning point in the Arab Spring and a victory for the cause of freedom around the world. What do you know is the latest out of Libya and the status of Muammar Gaddafi and your reaction to all of that?
Yeah, I don't know much more than being reported on the news. I get a brief from my Washington office, but I'm home in Connecticut now. But it certainly appears that Gaddafi's time is over. And as you know, there was very little resistance and remains very little resistance in Tripoli. So it's a remarkable moment. Unlike the other places where the Arab Spring uprisings occurred, Egypt, Tunisia, and this one, the leader turned his guns on his people in his attempt to stay in power. And they would not be dissuaded. Now, of course, we and our NATO allies came to their support with air power. But the boots on the ground, unlike Iraq, for instance, were Libyan boots. And so it's a remarkable turn of events. 42 years in power, a lot of blood on his hands, including a lot of American blood. And it'll be good to see Gaddafi go. And then some of the hard work begins, but I've met the leaders of the Libyan opposition. They're very, in my opinion, strong, civilized people who genuinely want to be a democracy and be friendly with the West, including the U.S. The question obviously is, as we've seen in some of the other countries, can they hold it together, or will the Islamist extremists some of whom are there, but fewer than in other countries, take over or at least exercise disproportionate influence. So we got to stick with them and just let them know that as long as they're on the side of freedom, we'll be with them and we'll try to help them get to where they want to go.
As I've already said, Senator, I was fascinated by your book and couldn't put it down. And one of the things that struck me is when you write this, sometimes when I've had to stay on Capitol Hill on Friday night because there are votes to cast on both Friday night and Saturday that keep me from walking home, Hadassah and I have celebrated Shabbat, and I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, right there. Yes. In my office. The thing that strikes me is I wonder how soon you'll be visited by the ACLU for celebrating your Jewish Sabbath in your office there at the Capitol.
You know, I never thought of that, but now you're probably going to stir some minds thinking. Well, Chris, I've been at odds over my career with the ACLU, certainly on this matter, because I'm one of those who believes that the Constitution promises freedom of religion, not freedom from religion. In
yes.
fact, from the beginning of our, I always say America itself is a faith-based initiative. If you look at the writings of the Founding Fathers, if you look at the documents, the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, there's repeated references really with terminology that is familiar in the Bible to Almighty God as the source of the not only their strength, but the liberties that they're trying to enshrine and secure through the government that they were creating. So I think anybody who tries to separate religion from America is doing something really unnatural and also something that ultimately will weaken us. I mean, the great thing about this country is that we respect the right of religious freedom, but that doesn't mean that. But part of that freedom, frankly, is for people like me and others to express our beliefs in public and to feel that people may agree or disagree but will not compromise our freedom. And I feel that way about, a week or so ago, somebody took off after Michelle Bachmann and Governor Perry for speaking about their faith in public. But that's their right under the Constitution.
Yeah. It's interesting, Senator, you bring up Michelle Bachmann, because I want to play you a 30-second clip. Here is a compilation of questions David Gregory of Meet the Press asked Michelle Bachmann a week ago Sunday when Michelle Bachmann was on Meet the Press on NBC. Here's David Gregory. I want you to hear this.
To what extent does your relationship with God mean that you take cues from God for decisions that you make and that you would make as president? You've talked about God inspiring you to marry your husband, telling you to marry your husband, to get into politics, to take certain decisions about your career, as we just talked about. God has guided your decisions in life. Would God guide your decisions that you would make as president of the United States? There's a difference between God as a sense of comfort and safe harbor and inspiration, and God telling you to take a particular action.
How would a presidential candidate, Senator Joe Lieberman, answer those questions? And are the questions appropriate? I mean, is it appropriate for a news talk person to inquire that deeply about a presidential candidate's faith and to suggest that if she prays and talks to God, that there's something wrong with that?
Yeah, I thought those questions, I didn't see that show, but so this is the first time I've heard them, although somebody told me about it and said that they were troubled by it. I found those questions to be offensive. They were asked almost to provoke her, and there was a certain element of disrespect. I don't know how Congresswoman Bachmann answered them, but, look, throughout our history, I would tell David Gregory to go to the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, for instance, and read on the wall there Lincoln's second inaugural address. I mean, you would think it was a pastor speaking to a congregation, because he constantly, as Americans have throughout the most difficult moments of our history, invokes God in hopes that, as Lincoln once said, that he never wants to say he's certain God is on his side, but he wants to do everything he can to make sure he's on God's side. And there is something to that.
Let's get to the heart of your book before I have to let you go. You say in your book, Senator, "I am here to testify that laying your work aside for one day a week is a responsible and ultimately productive choice." A lot of people that don't observe the Sabbath, both Jews and Christians. I mean, the Sunday Sabbath for Jews, or for Christians rather, and then of course the traditional Sabbath for you, would say, how can a sitting senator take a 24-hour period where he doesn't answer his phone, he doesn't communicate? How has the Sabbath been a blessing to you, and how have you been able to observe it as a senator?
Well, when people ask me, Paul, how can you be a U.S. senator? It's such a busy, demanding job, and take one day off every week. And I really say, I don't know how I could be the kind of senator I want to be and not take the day off, because during that day, I'm opening up time and space to be with God, to be with my family, to be with my inner self. And to take a break from the other 6 days of the week. I mean, people can approach the Sabbath from many different directions. I approach it from the point of view of being a commandment, one of the commandments that God gave Moses on Mount Sinai, and Moses then to the rest of us who have followed. And here, and that I include the Jews and Christians. And so it has a purpose. I mean, and it's all about remembering the Sabbath day to keep it holy. God created the heaven and the earth on 6 days and rested and was refreshed on the seventh. So this is a day that for me answers big questions that everybody has. How did I get here? How am I supposed to behave? Well, I got here because of God's creation, and this is a day to be grateful. And frankly, though, this is that commandment was given millennia ago, thousands of years ago. To me, I think the sense that I have of the Sabbath as a gift is more necessary than ever, because we're working so hard. We're attached to our BlackBerries, iPads, cell phones, 24/7, and people begin not to take time for what's important, which is their loved ones and their spiritual self, their relationship with God. So in this book, I'm really calling out, by taking people as guests with me through a traditional Jewish Sabbath, I'm calling out to people, particularly obviously Christians and Jews, come back to the Sabbath observance. You know, when I was growing up, most of my Christian friends would have to go to church on Sunday, and if somehow they got out of that, they would have to be at home for the Sabbath meal. And we lost something because all the businesses were closed on Sunday then. We lost something when that changed and people got drawn away from it. And I think not only the individuals need it, but our country needs people to return to a day of rest and a day of faith. And I think people will feel better about it, and the country will be better off. And, you know, as I try to make clear in the book, it's a serious day. It's a day of prayer and reflection. But honestly, it's a wonderfully enjoyable day. I love the day. And any Sabbath-observing Christians and Jews that I know just have a ball on the Sabbath. So I hope people will take the time to read the book and put some of the Sabbath in their own lives.
One of the things, Senator, that I learned from your book is that the Sabbath is really perpetual in the sense that even as it begins prior to Friday, you know, Friday afternoon, you're in the Sabbath preparation.
Right.
You're going then
right
through the Sabbath. But then as it's ending, you're looking forward to a week of work, but in light of the coming Sabbath.
Correct. I mean, you know, there's a lot of theology that I've studied over the years that in some ways God created the earth for the Sabbath and for us, because it is the day to appreciate the creation and to honor it. But as I mentioned in the book, in the traditional Jewish prayer service, every morning, the daily prayer service, there's a psalm said, and it is the same psalm that was said on that day every week in the temple when it existed in Jerusalem. And it measures it according to the Sabbath. It says, this is the first day of the Sabbath on which the Levites in the temple used to say. So we're building up 1 to 6 until we get to the Sabbath, which is the top of the mountain, what the whole week is working toward.
Oh, I love the Talmud metaphor of all the other 6 days having a companion, and the Sabbath being lonely and needing something, and the sense of anticipation of the bridegroom. But I wish I could explore all of those metaphors that you use so beautifully in your book. But one of the important things that you say is this quote: "Of all the things that observant Jews do on the Sabbath, which anyone of any faith could and should do, I would put blessing your family high on the list." I'll tell you what warmed my heart most, Senator, about your book is you're talking about stopping on Friday afternoon and picking up the flowers and bringing them home, and then the relationship with your calling your children if they're away and offering that blessing. Talk to me about how this has blessed your family to be an observant a Jew in terms of the Sabbath.
Right, in a totally non-theological way, although it all comes from faith. The fact, particularly during busy times in my political career, campaigns or something, when I would want to be home all the time, but I would just be out a lot. For me, and of course, as my kids grew older, they said for them, it meant so much to know that Daddy is going to be home Friday night and Saturday, and we're all going to be together. It was a real family moment. But this idea, Paul, of blessing your children, it's a tradition. You won't find it anywhere explicitly in the Bible, although the blessing used is directly from the Bible. And what we do when a child, any of our children or grandchildren, but children really are with us, we literally put our hands on them, either on their head or their shoulders, and say the priestly benediction, which is very familiar to anybody who's ever been in a church or a synagogue. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord grant you the greatest of his gifts, the gift of peace. And then I give a kiss to each of them. And I'll tell you, there is something there. It's a respectful, appropriate physical connection between the parent and the child, which essentially says to the child, "Now I love you, and I consider you to be a blessing to me." And in some sense, we're reminding ourselves of what blessings our children are. We're also reminding ourselves, as I mentioned in the book, that though some people think that only clergy, for instance, have the power to bless, that the truth is we each have the power to bless each other if we care to use it.
You make it very clear in your book, Senator, that you're not interested in a restoration of the old blue laws. Short of something that extreme, what should the American people know about the Sabbath in terms of their own keeping of it and its benefit to American culture and American society?
Yeah, well, I mean, in the book, thanks for asking that. That means a lot to me. In the book, at the end of every chapter, I have something I call Simple Beginnings, and people will see ways they can begin to introduce the Sabbath into their lives. Maybe it's going to be hard for people to take all of Sunday or all of Saturday and stop. But maybe if they go to the church or synagogue, or if they at least have a family meal, if after the family or during the meal they bless, they thank their spouses, they bless their children, it's a beginning. And to me, I'll tell you, I think once people will start, and I mean this in a friendly way, of course, it could be habit forming. It could be addictive, because we need rest. I use a metaphor in the book. There's a rabbi named Daniel Lappin who wrote a book, and he says that sometimes on the Sabbath it makes him reminds him of waking up at night, not being able to go to sleep, and you lay in your bed, and you hear things in the house that you don't normally hear because there's quiet. You hear the refrigerator going on and off, and in the same sense, the Sabbath gives us that quiet, that perspective, that spiritual tranquility or insight. I find myself having some of my best ideas on the Sabbath. And if nothing else, I feel like when we come out of it, my mind is clear for the 6 days ahead.
You write, the songs of the Sabbath have become one of the most fulfilling ways for me to engage personally in the spirit of the day. You talk about going up to synagogue and engaging in the singing the beautiful melodies of the robust Friday night service with my fellow congregants has been one of the ways I make the transition from the 6 days of labor to the Sabbath of rest. You know, you've had some senators there in the Senate who made some tours. Trent Lott and his little quartet that used to tour the country. who knew that Joe Lieberman was a singer?
Well, I may not be a very good singer, Paul, but what I mean, you know from your learning that one in the temple in Jerusalem there was a lot of singing that went on, but two, we all know from our experience, whether it's in church or synagogue, or in our own sort of personal lives, that there is something about song and raising your voice that takes you to a different level, and that's why I particularly mention that about Friday night, that I find that when I go into the synagogue, and you know that the Sabbath has begun, but we're still pretty close to the work week. And when the songs start, it in some sense it just clears my mind and soul. And I'll keep singing whether the people near me enjoy it or not.
Yeah, and you make it clear that when you get into the synagogue, it's not Senator Lieberman for the most part.
Yeah.
You say, in front of God, my title as a senator counts for nothing.
Yeah, it's Joe. When they call me to the Bible, to the Torah, to the Hebrew Bible for an honor, I'm actually addressed by my Hebrew name, which is Yosefius Royal, Joseph Israel, son of, my dad's name was Henry, but in Hebrew it was Hanan. And so it is. You know, the other thing I mentioned, and I know people in churches feel the same. I had a friend, it's a funny way to say it, but I quoted in the book. He said to me, he was a fellow congregant, and we were talking about the sense of community in the house of worship on the Sabbath. And he said, sometimes when I walk in here on Friday night, I feel like I'm walking into that bar that they on the TV series, the old TV series, Cheers. Mm. Where everybody knows your name, and there is something to that in your faith community, people know who you are, and frankly, if they don't, so they make you feel like you belong, and also for some reason they don't see you for a week or so, they're gonna inquire about why aren't you there, and if something's wrong, they're probably gonna make sure you're taken care of. So anyway, I'm sold on the Sabbath, and I hope people will have the opportunity to look at the book and decide to add some more Sabbath to their lives. I think it'll mean a lot to them and their families, and I actually think if enough of us do, it'll mean a lot to our country. We need some rest. We need some time for spirituality.
Senator Joe Lieberman, the book is The Gift of Rest, Rediscovering the Beauty of the Sabbath. It's available at Amazon.com and your local bookseller. I encourage you to get it. You're getting ready, Senator, to take an extended Sabbath from the United States Senate. I got to ask you this question. Any presidential aspirations there? We're going to hear Joe Lieberman declaring for president or possibly shocking all of us and becoming a Republican vice presidential running mate.
Well, I don't think I doubt that either of those are going to happen. I don't think that either party would nominate me. I actually think I've reached a decision, which I'm pretty comfortable about, that I will not seek elective office again. I love public service, and when my term ends in the Senate at the end of 2012, I'm not sure what I'll do yet, but I know some part of my time will be devoted to public service. I'm not going to retire, but one of the reasons I don't have to retire is that I know that every Sabbath I'll be able to rest.
Yes. Senator Joe Lieberman, it has been an extreme honor of mine to have this conversation with you, and thank you for your service to our country.
Pastor Paul, thank you. I've really enjoyed this conversation. Thanks for all that you do. God bless you, and I look forward to talking to you again.
God bless you as well. Get this book, will you? Senator Joe Lieberman, The Gift of Rest, Rediscovering the Beauty of the Sabbath. The Paul Edwards Program continues.